Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. The word of faith, the word of life, the word of God is potent, alive, and life transforming. Welcome you to another episode of Every Day with Jesus podcast. And we've been studying Bible truths concerning the local church. Thank you, Father, for illumination and light and clarity this morning. Thank you because no soul under the sound of this voice will remain the same. Thank you because our minds are renewed by the truth of your word. Thank you because our understanding is deepened in these truths concerning the operations and the structure of your church. Thank you, Father, because we will submit to your wisdom and align ourselves with your will. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, so Bible truths concerning the local church. This is part 8. And hallelujah. We're going to see yesterday how that discipleship entails being taught. Praise God. Discipleship entails being taught. The most important element in discipleship is teaching. And though the church of Jesus was not present in the ministry of Christ, the pattern of training that the church was to imbibe, the church was to operate, is found in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus, by his own ministry, had given us a pattern. Amen. So discipleship entails teaching. Teaching is the most important element in discipleship. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 again. Hallelujah. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. You know, I said yesterday that the believer's authority begins with preaching. The authority of Jesus given to his church begins, the exercise of that authority starts with making disciples, teaching all men. Matthew 28, 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That is, go because of this authority, in the light of this authority, in view of this authority, go and make disciples. Amen. We want to exercise the authority of Christ, we must be passionate about making disciples for Christ. Praise God. So go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. I said to you that the word disciples there in the Greek, which is the word matetio, is the word that means to make a student out of people. It means to enroll men as scholars. Hallelujah. It's not out of place to say, this guy is a Bible scholar. That's exactly what discipleship is about. To make you a Bible scholar. A scholar in the things of God. Amen. So, when you have been well taught, the outcome of sound and effective discipleship is that you become a scholar in the things of the Spirit. You become a scholar in the things of God. No, today we find believers say, I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm not a Bible scholar. I just know that, God can do this, God can do that. I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm not trying to sound like a Bible scholar. You should be a Bible scholar. Praise God. Every believer should be a Bible scholar. That is the intention and the plan of God for his church. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go and enroll men as scholars. Make them students of the word. A believer that is well taught will not be barren, praise God, in the knowledge of God. A believer that is well taught will not be confused about, Bible truths. Will not be confused about what, the will of God is. Will not be confused about the position of God's word concerning several things. Amen. That is discipleship. And then we saw that the word teaching there is the word didasko in the Greek. What teaching has used that Matthew 18, 20, didasko, which means to hold discourses with others, with the aim of informing them or instructing them, to deliver didactic discourses. It means to impart instruction. It means to instill doctrine into one, to explain and expound a thing. Praise God. To explain and expound. Hallelujah. Let me show you an example of how things are expounded in the scriptures. Yesterday we saw one, Matthew 5 to Matthew 7, Jesus kept teaching. That's the word didasco. He kept teaching. He expounded to them. Praise God. Not sermons that we are trying to find Bible verses in. Amen. Sermons that you're going to need magnifying glasses, some spiritual magnifying glasses to find the sermons and the verses of the Bible. That's not teaching. Praise God. In teaching, you are didactic. Amen. You are didactic and you expound to men the realities of God, the realities of the faith from the scriptures. Let me show you an example of how Jesus expounded things unto them. Luke 24. Hallelujah. If you have met the word, you should have met this verse of the Bible several times in your lifetime so far. Praise God. In your lifetime so far, you should have met this verse of the Bible severally, because this is a major verse or chapter of the Bible for, you know, explaining Christ, for showing how to explain or how to interpret the Bible. Luke 24, glory to God, and I'll start from verse 25. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Verse 26, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Wow! Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That's the word expound. Amen. You see how it's used? To expound, to show men things from the Bible, from the scriptures in a thorough way. He expounded to them. You know, this kind of expounding clears every doubt. Hallelujah. It clears every doubt. That is the reason why we teach the way we teach. To address every question. To clear every doubt from the heart of men. That is teaching. That is the kind of teaching that gets the job done in discipleship. Expound. In all the scriptures. Praise God. Not a verse of the Bible. You know, Jesus could have read the verse of the Bible to say, you know, Isaiah said, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again. Have you seen? And then he shows them another one at Jeremiah, and then end of discussion. I bet you that would not have been effective enough. Jesus had to walk them through scriptures. After he was done with that, the Bible says, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Hallelujah. Acts 24, 44, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why the apostles, the disciples of Jesus, understood the scriptures well was because of the manner of teaching. Praise God. Now, you can just read Luke 24 and say, wow, wow, praise God, wow, wow. It was just one meeting. No, it wasn't just one meeting. Praise God. Jesus taught them, over the space of 40 days. If you read through the account of Luke 24, look at verse 46 now. This was where Jesus gave them instruction to tarry in Jerusalem. Luke 24, 46, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Does this sound like Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 8? And you shall receive power. Praise God. If you read further down, verse 50, Bible says, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. What's the point? This captures the teaching, the expounding unto them through scriptures as one event. But no, this is what Jesus did till he ascended. Praise God. This is what he did till the day he was taken up from among them. So if you read Acts of Apostles chapter 1, it gives you a bigger picture of what really happened. Hallelujah. A bigger picture. Acts chapter 1, glory to God. And I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, this is the same person that wrote the book of Luke. The former account that made O Theophilus of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. That which he began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. So he taught until that day. Hallelujah. He taught until that day. Verse 3. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself over the space of 40 days. Thorough didactic teaching. Hallelujah. That's discipleship. So the outcome of 40 days was that their understanding was opened. Hallelujah. That's the outcome of 40 days teaching. Their understanding was opened. He had walked them through scriptures, the Psalms, the prophets, everything from Moses to the last prophet. Praise God. Moses and through all the prophets, through all the scriptures, he was showing them the things said concerning himself. And he was showing them the fulfillment of the same. Hallelujah. If you're a good student of the Bible, you realize that this is not something you can do in one sitting. Amen. The prophecies, the things said concerning Jesus in the Old Testament, they are too numerous for just one meeting. There's no way you can do that. So Jesus took his time to explain and expound to them from all the scriptures over the space of 40 days. That is teaching. So that's one example of how to expound. Glory to God. How to expound. When we go through diverse, you know, portions of scriptures, it is not for the sake of showing that we know scriptures. It is because that is exactly the kind of teaching that brings understanding and clears every form of doubt. Praise God. So yesterday, we also saw that in this teaching, the man has the right or the authority to give a charge or a command. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. And I said to you that this is where it gets so serious for many Christians. Many Christians cannot submit to a place where they are being given instructions, where they are being charged and commanded and told what to do. They can't submit. There's so much pride. Hallelujah. Pride and arrogance. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Timothy 4, 11. Bible says, these things command and teach. I showed you yesterday that the word command is from the Greek word parangelo. Parangelo. What does it mean? It means to command, to charge. Showed you yesterday that that word is from the root word angelos, which is used for angels. Angels don't negotiate. They give instructions that you ought to obey. So the man that gives a charge is to be obeyed. A commandment is to be obeyed. It is not up for negotiations. Many times people do not even realize that certain things are by way of instruction and commandment and admonition and charge. Praise God. In the local church. It's not everything you start saying, but pastor. No, certain things are given to you to obey. Amen. And you see, the pattern of those instructions, over time, you'll have spotted them if you're in a sound local church, that those instructions are not injurious to your faith. Those instructions do not negate the will of God. Those instructions will not destroy you as a person. So there's no need contesting or fighting against the idea or resisting it. Hallelujah. And it makes no sense to go submit under institutions that are not of God, worldly, secular institutions, to submit and obey authority, but come to the church of Jesus and become rebellious and unruly. It makes no sense. Praise God. If there's a place we ought to display honor and respect and submission, it's in the church of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because ultimately, Jesus is the head of his church, and pastors and leaders are merely representatives of Christ. Let me show you how Apostle Peter says this at 1 Peter chapter 5. See how he says it. Leaders, elders, bishops, pastors, the same, hallelujah, are merely representatives or delegates of Christ in his church. 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory which will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. Not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So he's not to lord it over the flock by extorting them. He's not to begin to extort people and, you know, maneuver them. Praise God. He says, when the chief shepherd, so shepherd the flock of God, you are an under shepherd. Praise God. You are an under shepherd. Jesus is the chief shepherd. Glory to God. So we ought to display respect, submission in the body of Christ, because we recognize that ultimately Jesus is the head of the church. Amen. So we are to charge, we are to instruct. The ministry itself, like I said yesterday, is a commandment. Praise God. Now let's see other places where the word parangelo is used. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So being in a local church requires that you receive instructions, you heed instructions. That when you are charged and admonished and commanded, you obey. Glory to God. And I said yesterday, if you cannot submit in a particular local church, you can't trust a particular leadership, you have no business being there. Amen. You have no business being there. You know one thing Jesus said about the Pharisees? He said to the children of Israel, the multitudes, he said to them, he says the Pharisees and the chief priests, they sit in Moses' seat. Hallelujah. Though those guys were corrupt and bad, Jesus says they sit in Moses' seat. That is, they sit in a place of authority conferred upon them under the Old Testament. He says, do what they tell you to do, but do not do like they do. Amen. That is, when they instruct you from the scriptures, when they instruct you as Moses has commanded, you should obey. Listen to their words, but don't act like them. Don't follow their examples. Amen. Jesus was not teaching them rebellion against existing authority. Though those guys were not even, you know, worthy of such honor. Hallelujah. That's what authority means. Do you know why? When a man is taught to rebel against authority because of abuse or misuse, the man is being taught rebellion in the absolute sense. The day he comes in contact with a man that is not even misusing authority, he will find it difficult to submit to authority. Hallelujah. I'll repeat what I just said. When we teach a man to rebel or disobey or to revolt against authority figures, because the authorities are abusive or because that authority figure is manipulative, we are teaching him rebellion in the absolute sense. Praise God. We are teaching him rebellion in the absolute sense. The day he meets with somebody who is not manipulative, somebody who rightly uses his authority, he won't know how to submit. Because he has learned rebellion as a habit. So it doesn't make sense. So it's better you leave or you stay and you submit. Glory to God. Because if you learn rebellion against one, you are learning rebellion against all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this is so important. That's why Jesus gave that instruction to the children of Israel. He says they sit in Moses' seat. Matthew 23 verse 2. Very important. We're going to come back to 1 Timothy very soon. Sorry, 1 Thessalonians very soon. But look at Matthew 23. This is very, 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 very key. Many people do not know this. And so they inculcate the habit or disposition of rebellion because of abuse and manipulation. And eventually they have learned how to rebel against authorities. Praise God. Matthew 23. You're going to see what Jesus will start saying about the authorities. It almost does not tally. It almost contradicts the instruction he gave to the multitudes. Matthew 23, praise God. From verse 1, then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, not just the multitudes, to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and they do not do. For they bind heavy burdens and have to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But their works they do, all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feast, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, and to be called of men or by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. You see, so it continues. It's in this same chapter and in this same discourse that Jesus began to reprimand and rebuke the Pharisees and the scribes for their evil ways, but instructed the multitudes and the scribes, the multitudes and his own disciples to not rebel against them. Hallelujah. That's so instructive. Back to 1 Thessalonians now. See how the word parangelo is also used? The local church is where you learn submission. You learn to submit. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9 to 12. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 9 to 12. Bible says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we charge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Hallelujah. As we commanded you. It is not an advice. It is not, oh, do you like to do this? Would you like to do this or not? It's not something you have a say in. It's a command to be obeyed. Lead a quiet life. Hallelujah. Mind your own business. Work with your own hands. Aspire to lead a quiet life as we commanded you. It's a charge. Praise God. It's a charge. Work with your own hands. Pastor, me, I don't think I feel like working. I'm not just interested in work. No. You have to work. It's a command. Praise God. It's a command. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4 to 12. Praise God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4 to 12. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4 to 12. Look at this. It says, and we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. The things we command you. Hallelujah. The things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Verse 6. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which you received from us. We command you to withdraw from every brother. We command you to not associate or company with any brother who does not walk according to the traditions you received from us. Nobody in the church is expected to say, recommended us, but me, I think that brother has his reasons, though. Hallelujah. You know, one of the funny things people do in the church is when the pastor gives an instruction or an elder in the church gives an instruction or a charge or a command that is meant to be obeyed and somebody flouts it. Amen. And then the person is called out for his disobedience or his unruly manner, and then you find others consoling him after the service. Amen. Or after the meeting where he was reprimanded, people began to console him. Say, you see, don't mind pastor. Hallelujah. Don't mind pastor. Praise God. You know that's how he is. Don't mind him. Don't mind him. Hallelujah. Don't mind him. May I know that you have a reason for what you did. I know. Hallelujah. You are already operating in the spirit of Absalom, trying to be the better man. Praise God. When men disobey and there's an instruction, there's a rebuke, you don't gather around them to begin to console them or pat them on the back, as though the pastor hates them. Praise God. The reason for the rebuke and the correction is not because the pastor hates the person. Amen. It is so the person can turn out better in his walk. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 6, but we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the authority of Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which you receive from us. Look at verse 7. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. Verse 10. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. Parangelo. We commanded, we charged you. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Praise God. If anyone does not work, don't let him eat. Nobody is meant to say, but me, I feel that's too harsh now. I mean, that's too harsh. If he does not work, I mean, let's just still support him till he has a desire to work. No. That is the way to ruin him. Hallelujah. There are a set of people you must never be supporting financially. People who have chosen to not work. Not that there's no work.
they have chosen to not work. Hallelujah. Such men don't need financial support. Financial support is the way to support their idleness. It's the way to fan their laziness to flames. Praise God. But let him starve for a day or two, he will go and work. Do you understand? That's the essence of this instruction. So it's a command. We charge you. Amen. Verse 11. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Hallelujah. And verse 12, praise God. Bible says, now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they walk in quietness and eat their own bread. Commandments, instructions, a charge is not up for negotiations. See how this is also used at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. You see areas where we can give commands and charge people. Hallelujah. And it is not up for negotiations in the local church. You are meant to comply, obey, submit to such instructions. Hallelujah. You see, it's the local church that builds you, that builds your submission capacity. Glory to God. Builds you, enables you to learn submission, enables you to learn how to obey. Hallelujah. Humility is bettered in you. If you were proud and arrogant before stepping into the local church, the moment you begin to take heed to instructions and begin to obey commands and obey, you know, orders in the local church, you will learn humility and submission. Hallelujah. You will learn it. Praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. In my life as a Christian, in my entire life so far as a Christian, I have never flouted pastoral injunction. Not once. Hallelujah. I have never argued with a pastor, even when I was in a church that was not a word church. Amen. I have never flouted pastoral instruction. Not once. No pastor can say I was ever unruly to him or her. Not one person. Hallelujah. Not one. Hallelujah. Not one person. Praise God. When I even left that church, that was not a word church, they had nothing to say against me. The only thing they were, you know, puzzled about was the fact that I left. Why did you leave? But that I resisted the pastor. See, I was even called out in that assembly. The pastor preached with my name. He called me out on the pulpit. Praise God. Spoke against me on the pulpit for something I did not, I was not even guilty of. They wanted me to be one of their leaders and I just didn't want it. Praise God. They wanted me to be one of the leaders, one of the pastors. And you know, pastoring is not something you just put on people. Amen. I was there to study. So I had to explain to them, I came here to study and all that. At that point in time, I had not even gone through membership class to be a member of the church. I was just attending. Praise God. So, but you know, it took offense. And one day he had to mention my name. He had to talk about it on the pulpit. But you know, I did not rebel against him. I did not revolt. I knew that the only thing to do, the best thing to do at that point in time was to leave the assembly. Praise God. No pastor can say that he told us to go and do something, or they told us to go for evangelism, or they told us to come for prayer meeting, and I said, I don't have time. Amen. Or I said, I think it's not the right time. Can't we evangelize in our area? No. I was always obedient to such instructions. Hallelujah. I learned it early as a Christian. Glory to God. As a pastor that I am, if I join a local assembly today, maybe I'm out of the country, and I join a local assembly for worship, I go there to worship with them, I cannot resist, I will not resist any instruction or charge given to them by the pastor. It's impossible. Praise God. I will not. If I discover that the instructions negate the word of God, then I leave. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because as long as I'm in that place, I'm under obligation to submit to authority. Praise God. I'm under obligation to submit to authority. I'm aware that there are those who have come in contact with sound doctrine and they are in churches where they are not preaching sound doctrine. And then in those places, they are causing an uproar. Praise God. You find people causing an uproar, instilling rebellion in the hearts of men against the authority. That's unwise. That is not scriptural. Praise God. If you cannot submit to the leadership there, then you leave. Praise God. Otherwise, you are going to learn rebellion and lack of honor in that place. And even when you get to a place where they are teaching sound doctrine, it will have become a habit to not submit or to obey authorities. 1 Timothy chapter 1,
verses 3 and 4. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Not to advise them, not to deliberate, not to discuss, praise God, to command them to teach no other doctrine. So we can control the message in a local church. Some people use this wrongly. I mean, what they are preaching is not sound doctrine, but that idea of telling people to not teach any other doctrine is scriptural. Praise God. Where the pastor is preaching one thing, another brother is in the midst holding fellowship, teaching something else in the church. It's unscriptural. That's a wrong model. Amen. If you have come into the light of the word of God and you cannot stay in a place where they are not preaching sound doctrine, then you leave. Glory to God. You leave and start doing evangelism. If you meet those members on the road, you can share the word of God with them. Amen. Not that you are teaching them God's word. You begin to create a faction in the church. Glory to God. So, charge them to teach no other doctrine. This is for sound doctrine, primarily. But people who don't preach sound doctrine also give such instructions because, of course, to them, they are preaching sound doctrine. And that is one of the administrations of the local church. One of the features found in the administration of the local church. To control the message. To control what is being said. It is not a place where everybody just comes to show himself. It is not a theater for displaying your own skills or your own knowledge. Amen. There's a system of truth that we all must submit to. Glory to God. Charge them to teach no other doctrine, nor give it to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in the faith. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 7. It's a charge, an instruction. 1 Timothy 5, 7. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. I'll read from verse. Let me start from verse 3. The Bible says, honor widows who are really widows, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. Hallelujah. These things command that they may be blameless. Hallelujah. It is not up for negotiation. It is not up for discussions. It is something to submit to obey to the letter. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bible says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us all things to enjoy. Command those who are rich. Those who are rich among the saints. It doesn't mean to suggest to them. That's the word parangelo. To charge them. Not to suggest to them. Yeah, brother wa, daddy wa, or mommy wa, praise God. It's not all about money. You see, my brother, even if the person is younger than you, but because he's rich, you now begin to talk in a way that seems as though you are patronizing the person. No, it's not a patronage. It's a charge. Command them. Stop trusting in wealth. Command them not to trust in wealth, to not be haughty or proud or arrogant. A rich man in the midst of us who is displaying pride doesn't relate with the saints. I summon him, I command him. Hallelujah. I summon him and give him a charge. This is not how to live. I have noticed you have become so proud and arrogant. I have noticed, and the problem is your wealth. What is your wealth? Would you stop this kind of attitude? This is ungodly. This is not of God. It is not of Christ. Repent. From today, I'm going to mingle with the saints. Hallelujah. It's a command, a charge, an admonition. Not many pastors can do that because the pastors today are in the habit of patronizing the rich. Praise God. Patronizing the rich. You talk in gentle tones. Amen. When a poor man does the same thing, misbehaves in the same manner, you descend on the person. When a man who is rich, hallelujah, a man who is rich, who has two heads, praise God, a man who has two or three heads, does the same, you say, you know, this thing I want to say, don't be offended though. Praise God.
You know, don't be offended. I want you to see my reasons for it, you know. It's just an observation. Hallelujah. Already for you and me. What's the interpretation of that? Money has blinded your spiritual eyes. Praise God. But pastors who cannot be firm with the rich. That's wrong. Paul says to charge them, to command them, to not be haughty or proud. Verse 18. What should they do? Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Did you see Jesus patronizing the rich? Did you see Jesus talking one way to those who are poor and talking in another way to those who are rich? Your earthly status, financial status, economic status makes no difference in the church of Jesus. Hallelujah. If everybody is to be given an instruction, we give that instruction the same way to everyone, irrespective of your social or economic status. That's the church of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. So like I said yesterday, this is an aspect of discipleship that many people do not enjoy. That's the reason why a lot of people fight and contest against the idea of the local church. It ought not to be so. Hallelujah. It ought not to be so. Praise God. To charge them. Hallelujah. To command. You are in the local church to learn doctrine and to take instructions. To learn doctrine and to receive commands. And a charge at different times. Praise God. Have you spotted this word before in the Bible, the New Testament? The word government. You know, that word is used for one of the leadership roles in the body of Christ. Government. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's serious business. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. You know, many times we just read the Bible, we don't connect the dots. We don't see the implications of the words that are used. Amen. You just read through, you just breeze through. You don't weigh the implication of what he just said. For instance, when I read through my Bible and I say 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28, I pause to ponder. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Hallelujah. If I let me start from verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. That word administrations there is the word government. Hallelujah. Government in the church. Praise God. Government, which means a governing, it means directorship. In the church, Yoruba will say ijoba. Praise God. now, listen. It shouldn't be strange that the word government is used for the church. No, it shouldn't be strange. Do you know that the church of Jesus itself is referred to as the kingdom of God on the face of the earth? Hallelujah. Where were we called into when we met Jesus, when we met the word, when we received the gospel? Into what were we translated? Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So the church is God's kingdom on the face of the earth. Christ is the head of his church, and he gave gifts to the body. He set in the church some apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some gifts of healings, helps, government. Hallelujah. Because the church is God's kingdom. Praise God. And the word kingdom itself shows you that there must be a structure, administration, structure, order, discipline. Glory to God. There must be discipline and order. There must be submission, a recognition of authorities. Kingdom. Praise God. And you know, this is the reason why many people don't like the idea of the local church. Praise God. It's easy to be a word man. Hallelujah. It's so easy to be a word man if all it entails is just learning how to say the right things, learning how to preach doctrine. No. It entails much more than that. To be a word man, you must submit to the entirety of the counsels of God as revealed in scriptures. Amen. A word man is a man that submits to the authority of the local church. A word man is a man that submits for accountability, discipline, and order. A word man is a man that submits to the administration of the local church that ensures his growth, hallelujah, ensures his growth, ensures his service, ensures consistency, that ensures faithfulness. Glory to God. A man that submits himself to be proven, tested, and tried in the settings of the local church. Glory to God. Listen, as I close, there are lots of believers today who have met the word of God through the social media, hallelujah, through TV broadcasts, videos on YouTube, radio broadcast, and you know, funny thing is, after meeting the word, they now begin to fight against the idea of the local church. You find people writing all over social media why it's not necessary to submit to a local church. Now, if you look at the way they even write and the things they say, you will know they need to be in the local church. Amen. So unruly, so out of order, badly behaved, their conduct are not refined. Praise God. The answer to such unruly characters is the local church. Submission to a local church. Glory be to God. Now, let me say something I said earlier on. Let me say it for clarification's sake. I'm not saying if you're in a local church where they are not preaching sound doctrine, you can't share God's word with people. Especially if you have the position of a leader in the church, maybe a leader, maybe you are one of the heads of department. I'm not saying you can't share God's word with people. You know, that is allowed in many places where you can just share from God's word what you know. Amen. I'm talking about deliberately creating a faction in the church. Hallelujah. A deliberate creating of a faction where you are instilling in men rebellion towards leadership. You are not just teaching them for edification. You are not just sharing with yourselves for edification's sake. You are sharing with them and they are seeing you as a man who is responsible for them. Praise God. No, that's wrong. Hallelujah. That's wrong. It's wrong. That is not found in the scriptures. Amen. The instruction given to us is that we should recognize those who have the rule. And it is not just anybody. There are people who have been set in places, in assemblies, as the authorities and the leaders, the elders in those places. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So, we're going to continue from here. The next teaching, do good to tune in. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of faith, full of power, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to someone. See you in the next episode.